This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everybody. Adam Ritz here with you. Jay Baker joining me on the telefono. Hey, Jay, how's it going?
It is going well. It's a brand new year. And Adam, as we always say, new year, new attitude. Now, the attitude is not good, but it's a new one.
Well, I was just going to say, I have a great attitude. So that's interesting. Yeah. New year, new attitude. Your take on that is that it may not necessarily be the best of attitudes, but at least it's a new attitude.
Yes, it's a new one. But I am kidding around because you are right. Sometimes with a new year, you feel like you've wiped the erase board clean and you're ready to go.
Clean slate. Here we go for the new year. And Jay and I talk quite often about scams. We do a scam alert at least every, third or fourth show. And I don't have a specific scam to speak on today, Jay, but I do have a scam-related topic. I became aware of a new website called scamspotter.org, and they exist to help prevent scams. And they also, you know, if you feel like you've been a victim of a scam, you can report said scam to their organization. They can track it and possibly even, go after the evildoers that are performing and creating so much fraud up in the billions, this scam fraud, whether it's a text message asking you for tolls, unpaid tolls that you don't know, but, you know, with the urgency behind the message, you may pay it anyway, all the way to banking, routing numbers, and or financial kidnapping. I mean, there is some extravagant scams happening. A lot of it now is AI connected. It's making it easier for the criminals to scam more people at once. One human can make one phone call, but you know, a bot farm of AI can call hundreds of thousands of people or text them. So scamspotter.org is the website, and on their homepage they have a 3-point plan to help with scams. They want you to pause, verify, and report. So number one, if you get a message, a text message, an email, a phone voicemail, pause before you even react to it. Scammers like to create a false sense of urgency, and they take advantage of moments when you're distracted or rushed. So when you get a message telling you that you owe money, pause. Just pause before you do anything. Number two, verify. Scammers often initiate outreach by impersonating people that you know or organizations that you are familiar with or you trust, like your local police department, your town's community name, commerce department. If the outreach seems suspicious, don't engage until you can verify the authenticity of the person or organization that reached out to you. And then third,
yeah, that's a good one. And just quickly, not to jump in here and make this longer than it needs to be, but you pointed out something of great interest. We live in a state where occasionally you'll get a text message that says your driver's license will be revoked if you don't act upon this particular fine or whatever. Of interest is the Bureau of Motor Vehicles within our state has said, we will never text you. We will notify you through mail, but we will never text you that something is going wrong or obviously. So you can rest assured it's not us.
Yeah, that's a great point. Verify. I've heard stories of there was a woman in, I think, one of the Carolinas this past year that was scammed out of thousands of dollars because she thought she was talking with Brad Pitt.
Oh,
Brad Pitt texted her and said he needed money. So, You know, I don't know if you if you've got what kind of self delusions you have if you think Brad Pitt's going to text you. That's red flag number one.
Yes, and then that's its own set of problems.
Red flag number two. I think Brad's doing okay in his bank account. He probably doesn't need your money. Although, you know, I make fun, but it might be a situation where a celebrity texts you and asks you for funds for their charity. And, you know, yeah, if you're a fan of that person or if you have a good heart, a charitable heart, you want to send a few bucks to that charity. Pause. Verify. Verify it's real. And then number three here, Jay, is report. So once you discover through your verifying and verification process that this is not legitimate, report it. Block and report any scam activity that you're seeing within the product or site where you encountered the scam. And if you've been scammed, you can find out where to report it at fightcybercrime.org. And that website is available through this original website I've been talking about, scamspotter.org. So ScamSpotter, Fight Cybercrime, those are your key terms, I guess, to keep on your toes and make sure you have your best defense when Brad Pitt texts you and asks for $800.
Right. Or someone claims they're from the Bureau of Motor Vehicles or whatever. It's like, just verify. Take 2 seconds.
Yeah. Your city mayor, the mayor's office, texts you, even if it seems benevolent, and it's you know, a nice email asking you to donate to the new green space or the new park. You know, verify. Is it really
right.
your parks department? Even though, you know, if you got the email, the text, they've got your city logo, your city seal on the email. You gotta reach. The best advice Jay and I talk about is call that organization. Look up that organization's phone number. Call them on your own. That one-way communication to them. Find out if it's real. The person on the other end of the phone should be able to say, yeah, that wasn't us.
Yeah. No, good thinking, because it's all based on human nature. You see something, you hear something. If I tell Adam I'm going to take away his driver's license, he's going to act pretty quick because he doesn't want that to happen. But if I scam him, not so good.
Yeah. All right. Keep on your toes for the new year, the new attitude. As we move on.
Yes, the new attitude. Well, here's some great news. There's some exciting news about Alzheimer's. Researchers at Chicago's Northwest University say they have found an experimental drug. They've used them just on mice so far, but with mice, it blocks early damage from toxic proteins in the brain that cause the common form of dementia. They gave this drug called NU9 to mice before Alzheimer's symptoms appeared, which worked to target the disease at its earliest stage. Now, they believe that the same approach could be used someday soon to use in people as an early intervention for Alzheimer's. So this may actually come close to preventing and or curing this disease.
Boy, that would be just a medical miracle.
That would be.
My grandmother died from Alzheimer's in 1986. We heard nothing back then about a cure. And through these decades, they just keep taking baby steps and they're finding new ways to find out more about how to battle this disease. It is entirely possible, Jay, that within the next half century, there is a cure for this.
Yeah. And, you know, it's touched a lot of families. And I find it absolutely heartbreaking.
It is. It's a tough disease to deal with. Anybody that's had a family member with it, they'll know what I mean by this. It's kind of funny at the beginning. Because, you know, when you misplace your keys, you can laugh at yourself. I do that now. And it's, you laugh at yourself when you're talking on your cell phone and you say, where the hell is my cell phone? And you're actually talking on it, looking for it.
Right.
I mean, that's funny. And, but then the gradual deterioration becomes not so gradual at some point. And then it just, you fall off a cliff, and then it is the saddest thing in the world to watch your loved one deteriorate like that.
Absolutely. Well, the CDC says that five states, including New York and New Jersey, are experiencing very high flu activity. There's a number of states involved, but those are the two new ones, Rhode Island, Colorado, Louisiana. It's a long list. And basically, this surge in flu is being driven by a new flu variant that emerged after the current vaccine was finalized. I don't know if you knew this, Adam, but the flu shot is based on what science feels might be the best guess as to what you may be dealing with in flu each season.
I did not know that.
Yes, they change the recipe? That sounds odd for a vaccine.
The formula?
But they change the formula, yes.
I did not know that.
Yeah, they change it. Now, doctors said, yeah, we didn't see this one coming. However, they still do recommend that people get flu shots because they say it does protect against other circulating strains. And I'm not one to be super pro-vaccine because we know that that can be controversial. However, if you are at risk, if you're over the age of 65, or certain, and your pediatrician can be a better arbiter than our radio show, but certain young people are at risk during the flu season. So at least think about it and take the flu shot, but also be aware there's a lot of flu going on, and it goes back to all the things that we know and love, Adam. Don't put your hand near your mouth or your eyes or your nose. Wash your hands a lot. In fact, if you're washing your hands, say to yourself, this may not be enough. I better keep washing my hands.
It is funny that you said that because I immediately thought, wash your hands, don't touch your face.
There you go.
And
you almost feel like I'm in on it because I have stock in a soap company. I do not. But washing your hands is kind of an inexpensive way to stay healthy during the flu season.
Through COVID, we heard that everywhere we went. Wash your hands, don't touch your face. And I always thought, they don't say, wash your hands, don't touch your face, and don't touch anybody else's face. I always wondered, so am I allowed to touch can I touch Jay Baker's face? Because they're telling me not to touch my face, but they didn't say anything about Jay's face.
Well, I laugh so hard because you and I know in the radio industry, we do try to be responsive to the greater good. And, you know, we are licensed by the federal government. So there's all kinds of multiple layers of bureaucracy in any radio station. But all the studios here still have the dire warning signs of used hand sanitizer, wash your hands. I think somebody wrote at the bottom of one of these sheets, you know, after wash your hands and use hand sanitizer, someone wrote, because you are a grubby bunch of individuals. And I thought that was funny. Like, that's a given at any radio station, isn't it?
This is a public service announcement. Wash your hands and don't touch Jay Baker's face.
Please do not. It's flu season, baby. Hey, are you one of those people who feel guilty if you don't eat every last bite on your plate?
Without question. That is me, 1,000%.
You know, it's kind of began. Our parents were the first ones to sort of enforce what they called the Clean Plate Club.
Clean your plate.
Clean your plate. And they weren't just being controlling. They really were sort of passing on the advice that they got. If you think about it, you go back a few years. I remember vividly my grandparents both being raised during the Depression. They were grateful for whatever food they had.
Yeah, that's true.
So that's why they say, now experts suggest if this has kind of been part of what's been controlling your eating, they suggest trying smaller portions, using smaller plates. Or this has been a rule that, this is so funny, I know about five people that do this and it works. Don't know why.
Okay.
But if you go to a restaurant, box up exactly half of what you order. A lot of times restaurants kind of give you the big portion anyway, mm-hmm. to kind of, you know, be, they're being chummy. You know, we live in a state where the official sandwich is the tenderloin. The tenderloins in our state are about as big as a catcher's mitt.
Yeah.
So yeah. But yeah, this can work. Order normally, eat half, and you can box it up and take it home.
And you're saying box it up like right when they bring it to your table. Take half of it right then and there and put it in a to-go box?
I'm not saying do that, but for some people they might have to. Depends on your impulse control.
I've been doing something since the holidays because, like most Americans, I did overeat and overindulge during the holidays. And here recently, I've been trying this and it's helped and it's worked. I take an enormous swig, almost a chug, of my water before I start my meal. And it encourages and enhances my Adam is full feeling, because you stop eating when you're full.
Right.
And I get fuller faster when I take a giant chug swig of my water right before I start eating. So, you know, I'm not saying replace your calories or meal with water, but that's probably something good you could put in your stomach that makes you feel fuller. I mean, you're supposed to drink, eight-ounce glasses of water a day anyway.
Yeah.
Why not chug 4 ounces right before your dinner?
Why not? Yeah. I mean, if it works, you know, I mean, it's certainly a healthy thing to put in your body. It's not like you're eating a half pound of sawdust or something, you know?
But as Jay always says, check with your health provider before taking any advice from these two knuckleheads.
That's right. Where'd you get this health advice? Oh, I was listening to a radio show. Right. And how did that work out for you?
Somebody is listening right now saying, shut up, Adam. The worst thing you can do before you eat is chug half a glass of water.
Oh, my goodness.
I might have to look that one up, make sure I'm right.
Yeah, make sure you're right. Well, of interest, you know, some people will be trying a dry January. That's when certain influencers have kind of said you might want to try to forego alcohol for a month. It should improve your health. It'll save you a little bit of money, and you'll feel better. And it'll help you kind of have a better perspective on how much alcohol you actually might be relying on during the year. Of interest, when I was doing the research for this, it's exactly what Adam just said. If you have been a heavy user of alcohol, you should consult your physician before trying dry January, which I'm not saying to be comedic. It's just another interesting thing of your body might not respond well to a withdrawal of alcohol.
I never even considered the adverse effects of stopping alcohol intake cold turkey immediately if your body is used to ingesting it. Never even considered
for some
that.
People. Yeah. It's like everything, you know, you want to be careful, you want to be moderate, but some people are trying dry January, and we'll kind of leave that up to you. Watercress is being named the healthiest vegetable in the world.
Can I jump in here and we'll get to
sure.
your, what is it? Water? What?
Watercress. It's the healthiest vegetable in the world.
All right, we're going to get back to that because I had a comment on dry January. A lot of people.
Yes.
I know some people that have attempted dry January and they didn't. I guess they weren't successful, we could say.
Right.
And I always tell them, don't be discouraged or sad or there's no rule here. There's no dry January police force that's going to come arrest you if you do have a cocktail when you said you weren't going to for 31 days. So, you know, give it your best shot. And if it doesn't work, it's not the end of the world. And then on the other side of that coin, I've read that there are millions of Americans who attempt Dry January. And here's how it ends up for them, Jay. Not only do they get through the 31 days without drinking, they just continue that lifestyle and they quit drinking completely altogether.
Yeah, not uncommon.
Which is an amazing outcome from just saying, oh, I think I'm going to try not drinking for a month. Because guess what? Yeah. 4 weeks later, you've saved money, you feel better, you're healthier, you haven't had any arguments or fights with your roommates, you haven't had any uncomfortable conversations or apologies with people from the night before. A lot of the trouble and hassle in your life is from alcohol. You will never, this is a fact, Jay, this is a mathematical certainty. You will never get a drunk driving arrest if you don't drink alcohol.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. And I mean, it certainly is safer.
So I think, some people that are attempting a dry January right now as they're listening to the show and you're thinking, maybe I'll, the national championship's coming up. I might have a drink during that football game. Well, maybe you won't. And all of a sudden, maybe it's February 1st and maybe you haven't had a drink and you quit. Maybe. Okay, that's enough of that. Tell me about watercress.
Well,
I know listeners are like, oh, man, he was almost there. I wanted to hear that watercress part.
Well, we were so healthy. I wanted to chip this in. As you well know, Adam, you and I have always chatted about all roads lead back to moderation. Probably all roads lead back to the highly processed foods we should all avoid. They always tell us, hey, think about fresh vegetables and fruits. So I thought people might enjoy hearing this. The Centers for Disease Control recently released a list ranking 41 powerhouse fruits and vegetables, and these can be a healthy benefit to your diet. And I thought, hey, how cool, because I don't know about you, but about, I'd say about 20% of what I see in the produce section, I have no idea what it is or how to fix it or, you know, what you should do. Are you kind of like that?
I completely agree. There are some, fruits or vegetables. I can't tell what they are. They're staring right back at me. They don't know what I am. And I wouldn't even know how to prepare them or eat them. In fact, I'll just tell you right now, as you introduce this section of the program with watercress, I have never heard those three syllables before in my life. What is a watercress?
Well, a watercress is part of the cabbage family. It earned a perfect score according to the CDC because of its dense profile of vitamins, minerals, and antioxidants in a low calorie package. So I have zero idea of what's a great way to serve watercress. You and I would be, well, can we deep fry it and put cheese sauce on it? Would that help it? The answer is no, but my guess is there's probably a Google search that will tell you more than you want to know about watercress.
Now, you told me it's in the cabbage family, so what I'm going to do to impress my server the next time I'm in a restaurant and I get coleslaw, I'm going to ask, is there watercress in this? And see what they say.
Yeah, absolutely. Chinese cabbage and chard were on the list. And the CDC said that while the sweet potato has many health benefits, it's not quite as healthy as some veggies. So people were kind of going very positive for sweet potato a few years ago. Still something good, still good for fiber and things of that nature, but there are better choices.
I could tell you 7 or 8 variations of a Reese's candy bar, from Reese's Pieces to the new peanut butter and jelly Reese cup. They even make one with an Oreo cookie now. But I cannot tell you any variation of a cabbage, including a watercress. So this is very educational for me. Thank you, Jay.
Doesn't Oreo have a new double stuffed watercress?
That's right.
Let's double check on that one.
The CDC forgot that one on their list.
Yeah. Here's kind of a tough story. I think we probably knew this. Getting less than 7 hours of sleep a night is a strong predictor of a shorter life, according to a new study in the journal Sleep Advances. Researchers found that sleep was more effective in predicting a shorter life expectancy more than any other factor except smoking. So losing or not getting at least 7 hours of sleep is not very good for you.
Jay, I might live to be 125 years old. I definitely get more than 7 hours every night, and I'm not afraid to sleep in on the weekends and get even more. Although this is bad news for me with Melissa. I think she's getting about 4 hours of sleep a night. She gets up so early. She doom scrolls on her phone at night. I'm talking 4 or 5 hours of sleep. I don't think she's going to hit 125 years old if this is the deciding factor, how many hours of sleep you get a night.
Yeah, well, it's interesting that you mentioned the doom scrolling. I think nowadays it's pretty easy to get caught up in that. Ironically, the light that emanates from your screen actually sort of interferes with healthy sleep.
So that is a notch against her in the health department. But I will say that she has probably eaten less Reese's and more watercress than me. So it might time out perfectly.
It may, there may be a compensation on the other side. Hey, here's a pro tip, everybody. We always think to ourselves, how do these things get started? But don't de-ice your windshield with a potato. This is apparently sort of a new thing. It makes sense, as the weather turns colder across the nation, and many of us, north of Atlanta can expect snow off and on throughout the winter. But, apparently somebody said you should de-ice your windshield with a potato.
And what you're saying is to use a sweet potato.
No, I'm saying use no potatoes.
Oh, okay.
This is apparently a quote-unquote tip concerning de-icing your car's windshield by rubbing a potato on it. According to the hack, the potato leaves a thin film that helps delay the formation of ice. Now, here's what really happens.
Okay.
The thin film that's left behind is actually harder to remove than the ice.
You need ice to remove the potato.
Yes, and here's the operant phrase. It could cause irreparable damage to your windshield wipers. Now, you and I know, heck, we're DJs. We've had the same set of windshield wipers on our car since, 1926. But
that's true.
So we never change those doggone things anyway. But apparently, rubbing the potato can cause them to be irreparably damaged, which is a kind way of saying you're going to have to junk your windshield wipers.
Well, I was not aware of this trend or hack or meme to rub a. I'm assuming they're wanting you to cut a potato in half, an Idaho potato, and then hold it.
Yeah.
Hold it with your hand with the flat edge of what you just cut against your windshield, and then do a little Danielson wax on, wax off action.
Yes.
As you spread it across your windshield before the ice. Originally,
right.
I thought you meant there's ice on your windshield. Use a potato to wipe the ice off. You would just have a bunch of potato skins shredded all over your windshield. In fact, that's a great way to prepare dinner.
It's a great way to make hash browns is on your windshield.
But, okay, so now we know this. We should have led the show with this story. This is the most important thing we covered today. Do not use a cut open potato to prepare your windshield for an ice storm. It only makes things worse. Jay Baker,
yes.
Thank you so much for all you do for this Public Affairs Radio program. We really appreciate it. Our listeners love that you're here. If you want to hear this show again or any of our past shows in podcast form, they are listed on demand on our website. It is adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.